Now, this week is Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and there's lots of different things going on around the country to make people aware of eating disorders. Now, on the line, I have Harriet Parsons, from the Service Coordinator from Bodywise, the Eating Disorders Association of Ireland. Good morning, Harriet.
Good morning, Tony.
Hi. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good. Okay. Say, this is Eating Disorders Awareness Week. It started now the 24th of February and runs up until the 2nd of March. Now, we'll touch back on that later on about what the different events that are actually happening there. But what we're going to do basically this morning is just discuss some of, ask you some questions about what eating disorders and what are and, you know, how you, the symptoms, etc. So, I mean, to begin with, Harriet, what is an eating disorder?
Well, an eating disorder is, three kind of different parts to it. It's when a person changes their eating habits in a disordered way. So either a person stops eating or restricts their food, or somebody might kind of binge eat and then purge in some way, or somebody may overeat and as a result become overweight. And I suppose they're complex conditions because they involve that kind of behavioural aspect, which is what everybody sees. But in actual fact, they've got a huge psychological and emotional element to them. And a very simple way of thinking about what an eating disorder is to think of it as a coping mechanism that a person starts to use in order to cope with how they're feeling in themselves. So say they're going through a tough time, or say they're struggling, or they're, you know, coming under some kind of stress that's difficult for them to deal with. It's like the focus then on the eating or not eating or whatever the behavior is distracts them and helps them to feel better in themselves. And then they kind of get stuck in this cycle where they feel then a compulsion to keep doing that destructive behavior in order to feel okay. So it's quite, you know, it's quite complicated, but you can think of it in that kind of simple way that it's like a coping mechanism, but it's a very destructive coping mechanism because the more the person does it, the more they need to do it in order to feel okay.
And what actually causes an eating disorder? Is there any sort of one thing, or is it, could it be a combination of different things?
It's usually a combination of different things. There's never usually one specific cause. So different things happening, like usually in a person's life, there would be some kind of chance happening that brings a focus on food. So say, for example, somebody might go on a diet at a certain point. Then there's usually kind of life stressors that happen. So you often would see triggering points in a person's life, those kind of major life events that are significant for them, like transition from secondary school to college, first job, first breakup, marriage, those kind of significant things. And then there's kind of qualities about a person that make them more vulnerable, I suppose, to using that type of coping mechanism. And that would be that there's kind of a low self-esteem. That's not always obvious because often a person is a very high achiever. You know, a kind of a poor body image or an overvaluation of how they look in terms of how they feel about themselves. So it's kind of a combination of all of those factors.
Right. One thing that I have heard, pardon me, coming up now and again, is that the media can be quite responsible for people, young people, getting eating disorders. They identify with these different celebrities who are ultra mega thin or wonderful, they've got the perfect body, and they try to aim to that, and then they fall into they end up with an eating disorder. Is it a big problem, or is it just maybe the media spin on it?
Well, I think that the media has a huge role to play. I wouldn't necessarily see the media as a causal factor. You know, if you talk to somebody with an eating disorder, they'll often say, oh, it wasn't, you know, that I read magazines or saw pictures. But the media does feed into this kind of culture of what the perfect and ideal body shape is. And that kind, the kind of messages that surround that are very similar to the kind of disordered, eating disordered messages that a person, thoughts that a person builds up in their mind that supports the eating disorder. You know, if I'm thinner, I'll feel better, my life will be better. And so it kind of supports all of that kind of distorted thinking. And then where the media play a huge role is in recovery. So when a person is trying to let go of an eating disorder, when they're trying to move away from all of those rules and thoughts, and, you know, they're, you know, seeing diets in magazines and, you know, comments about, you know, well, you know, try this, or, you know, this is the new thing, then that makes it very difficult because they feel kind of separate to the rest of the world. The rest of the world mm-hmm. is on the kind of diet bandwagon and they're not able to. Yeah. And if they're having a bad day, that can be really hard. So the media definitely plays a role in all of that, but I wouldn't say it's, you know, a causal
it's
factor.
It's not the main factor, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, now, what types of eating disorders are there now? If you can just explain the two major types, which are bulimia and anorexia. I mean, if you want to explain about those for us.
Yeah, so, well, anorexia, the main kind of feature of anorexia would be that the person restricts their food continually and has this kind of terrible fear of fat and of becoming fat. And because they're restricting their food and maybe over-exercising, they become very underweight. So that's kind of the typical picture that we think of when we think of somebody with an eating disorder, you know, somebody who's very underweight. Bulimia is different in terms of the behaviours. It's different because in bulimia, a person usually remains quite a normal weight because they do eat, but they purge after eating. So that might be making themselves sick or, you know, something again like over-exercising. They basically eat quite normally, but then try and get rid of it through through different kind of behaviours. And then there is another type of eating disorder, which is binge eating disorder. Which is newly recognised by the psychiatric associations in the diagnostic manual as having a category in itself as an eating disorder. And binge eating disorder is where somebody continually engages in binge eating, which is eating more than a normal amount of food in one sitting. But they don't purge in any way. So they could be dieting and binging, but because they don't purge, their weight goes up and up. So they would often fall into the overweight category or obesity category. Yeah. And so often then, you know, with the focus on obesity and that, the people with binge eating disorder get caught up in all of that debate, where in actual fact for them, it's an eating disorder. It's not really just about changing their behaviours mm-hmm. and their habits and that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, we do seem to have quite a lot. I mean, every day. I actually read an item there earlier on about obesity, childhood obesity, and some of the things they're carrying out in different schools to try and get people to eat more healthy and whatever like that. But I mean, we do seem to be focusing quite a lot in Ireland, especially. I mean, I think we have a big problem with obesity, and as I say, but you're saying that people who binge eat don't really fall into that category, do they? I mean, they're not the things that cause people to binge eat. I don't know if you can maybe explain to us, I mean, the difference.
Yeah, so the difference might be that it's not about willpower and it's not about finding the right diet or them sticking to the diet. They get trapped in a cycle where they binge and they put on weight and they think, oh, you know, I know, I'll go on a diet and I'll be able to lose weight and my life will be okay again. Mm-hmm. And so they go on a diet for a while and they might lose a bit of weight. And then something will happen that will kind of sabotage the whole thing. So they might kind of think, well, I've been really good, so I'm going to allow myself a treat. And something about that allowing themselves makes them feel out of control. And then they start eating and overeating and binging again. And the cycle all starts again. And so they never kind of break out of it. But what's feeding into it is not just, you know, their ability to diet and lose weight. It's actually that inside them, they're feeling really bad and, you know, they have issues going on and they don't know how to express them or deal with them. And instead, what they're doing is focusing on the food as a way of trying to make themselves feel better. And they have that element of compulsion coming in around the mm-hmm. eating. And so it's not just about finding the right diet or them sticking to it and all of that. It's actually about them working on themselves, you know, with therapy or counselling or, you know, support to try and figure out, you know, what's going on inside me that has me in this cycle and how can I break out of it. We actually have a binge eating booklet.
Oh.
And that's a self-help booklet that people can you know, get if they just contact us.
Yeah, well,
that talks through all of that.
What I'm sort of hearing as a member, years ago we would have called that what they call comfort eating Do you know? Yeah. And, yeah, comforty, where you feel down and whatever, and you maybe grab a tub of ice cream or something like that and basically finish it or whatever. But it's comforting. But it is actually, it can develop into something much more, can it?
Absolutely. So comfort eating, we all get that because, you know, we all engage in that every now and then. But I guess it's where the compulsion comes in. So where the person feels kind of out of control and they're doing it all the time. So it's not just they've had a bad day in 6 months and they comfort eat. It's that it's happening all the time and their weight is getting completely out of their control. And they're swinging from feeling out of control to kind of feeling okay to feeling out of control. And their reaction to that is to binge eat.
Okay. Now, Harriet, what treatments are available for eating disorders in Ireland?
Well, I guess there's two kind of pathways to treatment. There's, the private pathway, which would be, finding a good kind of counsellor or psychotherapist who you feel that you can connect with, or you feel you can trust, and just beginning that process of talking about what's really going on inside. And that way, as a process of kind of letting go of the behaviours, we provide a number of support services as well to kind of support people and help people make that step, or support people who are in that process, or people who don't feel that they can tell anybody. We have a helpline and support groups and online support groups and an email support. And then there's the public, so people, the GP is recommended to go to, and GPs are often have a wealth of knowledge about the local area, so they would know people working in the area to refer to. But also there is the public route as well, which is the mental health teams and the community mental health teams. And so the GP would be the port of call to refer into that community mental health team. So they would be treated then using a multidisciplinary team. So there might be a clinical psychologist and a dietitian and, some kind of therapy as well, and maybe a psychiatrist involved in that kind of team. So it varies from place to place.
But there is support is out there for people. Yeah, there is a lot of support.
Yes, definitely. And all the information is on our website. Yeah. So if anyone, wanted to find referral information, it is on our website.
Right, well, we'll get those details off you near the end of the interview. Now, parent, this is a sort of big one for parents and partners as well. How do you actually support someone who has an eating disorder? I mean, what can a parent do if they think their child has got an eating disorder?
It's very difficult. It's a balancing act. It's very difficult to see somebody that you care for doing this to themselves. I would say the first thing to do is to try and get your head around the idea that it's not about food, that it's a coping mechanism and it's about how they feel inside. It can be helpful to think about it as a comfort blanket. You know, it's a thing that makes them feel safe and in control. And any kind of attempt to get them to change their eating habits, they will feel as you trying to take that comfort blanket away from them. So what you want to do is to try and create a space where you're focusing not on what they're doing, but rather on how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And although that may seem like it's not, quite immediate enough, it will actually go a long way in the long term to creating a dialogue and open communication whereby you can support them through the process. If somebody is thinking about approaching somebody that they know who they're concerned about, we have an approaching someone section on our website which has lots of do's and don'ts about that. The first thing to do would be, read up on it. Try and figure out what this idea of a coping mechanism is. Mm-hmm. Try and understand where they might be coming from. And also try and manage your expectations around that conversation. So it might not be that at the end of that conversation, that person agrees to go and get help and, acknowledges that they have a problem. But it might be that you just leave it open, and that then when they're ready to acknowledge it, they will feel that they can come back to you because you didn't kind of go in there and, say, look, you have to eat or you have to stop.
You're not going like a bull in a china shop, in other words.
Yeah.
Now, there's kids, especially children, they're picky eaters. They like them. There's some things they like. They don't like their vegetables, don't like their broccoli. That doesn't mean they've got an eating disorder or anything. Like, how do you tell the difference between a picky eater, like a kid being, I don't want to eat that, don't want to eat that, and someone who has an eating disorder? Is there sort of something there that you sort of would give you an indication?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a question that we would get a lot. And I guess what you want to look out for is the level of anxiety around the eating. So say a kid doesn't want to eat their broccoli, but will be happily sit down and eat a bowl of ice cream, then that's not an eating disorder because it's not tied up with the not eating. They are eating, they just don't want to eat what you're giving them. Where you cross, say, from kind of normal disordered eating, which we all engage in, you know, we all... So say someone suffers a bereavement, we don't think it's an eating disorder if they lose their appetite, do we? We understand that that's a natural process and that slowly as they kind of begin to feel a bit better, their appetite will come back. Where it crosses into what an eating disorder is where this compulsion comes in. So where the person feels compelled to continue with the behaviour in order to feel okay. So where, say with a child, you put down the dinner in front of them and they have, you know, they panic, they row, they won't eat it, but they won't eat anything. Mm-hmm. That's more an eating disorder. If their anxiety levels are going way up, you know, if they are refusing to eat anything. So it's not just that they're refusing to eat their vegetables. It's actually that they are making a concentrated effort to limit the amount of calories that they're taking in, to limit the amount of food that they're taking in. And there's this kind of obsessive element to it. That's where your ears would be pricking up around, mm-hmm. Is there something else going on there?
Right, okay. Now, there seems to be out there, and most people think that when you talk about eating disorders, you associate it straight away with women. But do yeah. men and boys get eating disorders too?
Absolutely. It's not a women's issue. It's it doesn't discriminate between men and women at all. Men and boys do develop eating disorders, and you know the official figures are about 1 in every 10, but it's estimated that it's really about 25% would be males. And you know, for binge eating disorder, it would be more 50-50. I think that's really hard then for a man or a boy who does have an eating disorder, because they've got to get over this kind of double stigma of, you know, of recognizing that they have, you know, a disorder that's associated more with women.
Yeah, that's true.
And that can often be a huge barrier to them actually getting help in the first place, because they think they couldn't possibly have an eating disorder because this only girls get eating disorders. Yeah. But, you know, it's just as hard for men, and men are more and more becoming under pressure as well to be, look a certain way and have a certain physique, and, you know, that all plays its part. And so absolutely men and women develop eating disorders.
No problem. What services do Bodywise actually offer? I mean, what if someone does have a problem with either themselves or with a family member or a close one? I mean, what services can they avail of from yourselves?
Well, all of our services are listed on our website, but we would have a telephone helpline, which is open for 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and the number is 1890 200 444. We also have an email support service, which people can email alex@bodywise.ie, and Bodywise is spelled BODYWHYS. And if people email Alex one line or pages of what's going on for them, and we respond, you know, within lots of information, but also with that listening ear. We try to encourage people to reflect on what they've said, to hear what they're saying, to recognise and affirm for them, you know, the struggle that they're having at the moment. We have support groups for people with eating disorders and for family and friends. So those support groups are in Dublin and in Carlow, and we're starting one in Sligo in March. And also for people who aren't in those areas who might have an eating disorder, we have online support groups for both over 18s and under 18s. And they're run in exactly the same way as our support groups are, you know, where we have two facilitators at the group to make sure that it's safe for everybody. And across all of our services, our support ethos is that we don't talk about food and weight or the specific behaviours that people are engaging in. We talk about how people are feeling about what's happening to them and how they're coping at the moment. And in that way, people can relate to each other, you know, people can support each other and they can feel safe in talking about whatever it is with us.
No problem. Harriet, just to go back a little bit, you say the helpline is 1890 200 444. What, you said, yes, the hours that it's open from?
Yeah, so Monday, Wednesday and Sunday, it's open from 7:30 in the evening till 9:30 in the evening. Mm-hmm. And Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays, it's open from 10:30 in the morning until 12:30.
10:30 to 12:30. Okay, now just to finish off here, it's Eating Disorders Awareness Week.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll just go. I just want to come through those days again. Monday, Wednesday, and
Sunday.
Half 7 to 9:30.
Half 7 to 9:30, and yeah. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. till 12:30.
Yeah, I'll be giving that information out at the end of the program. But okay, as I say, going back again, it's Eating Disorders Awareness Week. Now, you have a lot of things happening around the country. I'm looking specifically at today. Yous from 1 p.m. Yous are at St Patrick's College, Drumcondra, and it's a Beauty, Size, and Media Lies, a workshop of body positivity. And that's a Dr. Deirdre Cowman. She's, yeah, a psychologist and children's author. And then this evening, St Patrick's Hospital, Dublin, you have Eating Disorders Information Evening. That's Dr. Sarah Prasad and team. Now, you do have, you, on your website, you do have a list of the different events that are happening around the country. You're happening.
Yes, we do.
Cavan, Dundalk, Sligo, RD, Carlow, and in Stillorgan. And as I say, yesterday you did have one in Cavan and one in the Twisted Pepper in Middle Abbey Street.
Yes.
Harriet, listen, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us here on Near Lifeline on Near FM. As I say, I'll give out that information again at the end of the programme, the contact details. Great. For yourself. And thanks very much for talking to us here.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.